Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. This is producer Andrew Colvett filling in for Charlie. Hopefully you guys have been enjoying the episodes this week. We've been having a great time making them. We talk about a lot of stuff here, but it's about one main topic. It's about the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Guys, if you've been wondering where the heck this virus came from, there is mounting evidence to suggest that you and I are not conspiracy nuts after all, that the Institute of Virology was behind it, and guess who in the U.S. government helped fund it? You're not going to want to miss this. A lot of juicy details. Guys, this is explosive. Get educated. Find out all you can about this story, because it is one of the most important news stories of our generation, and it probably will be for the next, 50 years. This is that big. So please tune in, listen up. As always, if you could support the show, we'd be grateful. There's a whole team here putting on the show every day, even in Charlie's absence. Go to charliekirk.com/support. And if you haven't done so yet, go to the podcast app and give us a rating. 5 stars, leave a review. That helps us so much in the rankings. We could really use that. I would appreciate it. All right, guys, without further ado, buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Honored to be with you. Again, this is Andrew Colvett. I am the producer of this show and sometimes guest host. There's a lot, and I say this every day because, really the media would want you to believe that we are living through a very sleepy time, that the lullaby presidency of Joe Biden, there's nothing to really talk about, nothing to see here, folks. But there's actually a lot going on if you have the desire to find it, if you want to peer one level deeper, if you have the right news sources and you're not watching CNN and MSNBC, which are both disasters. By the way, some good news on that front. They've both seen their ratings absolutely plummet. A new report today said that the ratings came out from January to April, and actually in this first part of May, CNN and MSNBC are both down about 2/3 of their overall viewers. 2/3. So there is a God. He is real. And we will praise him for that. Thank you. Okay, so Tucker Carlson did a phenomenal piece on a story that we've been monitoring for a couple of days. Jesse Waters had covered it over the weekend. We noticed it then. National Review actually did a great piece on it. And it's a fascinating story, and we pulled a lot of sound for you guys. We're going to go through it today. But it dives right into the controversy about the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Now, we've all been living through the pandemic for years, feels like years, for a year. It's turned all of our lives upside down. And we've been told since the very beginning that to suggest that this virus came from the Wuhan Institute of Virology was a cracknut conspiracy theory, and that we were all conspiracy theorists, just like we always are about everything. Everything we do is a conspiracy theory. But last night, it got the biggest megaphone in conservative media on a story that was written by Nicholas Wade. He published it on Medium, but Nicholas Wade is a very accomplished science writer. He's done stints at Science and the New York Times. And out of nowhere, he sort of released this very long and technical but very riveting article about the origin of COVID-19. Asking the question, did it emerge naturally out of nature from one animal species and having the virus jump to another? Or, as is probably been more common sense to many of you in this audience and certainly us here at the show, we'd assumed that having the Wuhan Institute of Virology so close to the outbreak, it was obviously eye-raising. That, to us, made a lot more sense. Now, folks like Senator Tom Cotton have come out very publicly and said this for quite a long time. He was dismissed out of hand multiple times. Rand Paul has questioned Dr. Fauci in Congress about the same thing. Let's go to clip 39. This is Fauci in a congressional hearing. Basically, let's just set the table. He's denying that any of this story that we're about to get into has any basis in fact. Clip 39.
We have not funded gain-of-function research on this virus in the Wuhan Institute of Virology, no matter how many times
you say it. There was research.
Okay, so that was Rand Paul questioning about this gain-of-function research. Now, what gain-of-function is, and some of you might have heard this in the last year, is essentially taking a virus, a SARS virus, that often originates in bats, and then trying to manipulate that virus. They call it the backbone of the virus, so that it would gain function and make it actually more virulent, and then so that humans could actually contract the virus. Now, this was actually outlawed, and we're going to get into this. The U.S. government was not supposed to be funding this sort of thing. But this is what makes this whole story so interesting. Let's play cut 29. Tucker explaining Nicholas Wade, who he is, and how Dr. Fauci was involved in all of this.
We cannot recommend more strongly a new piece by Nicholas Wade, who for more than 50 years has been one of the preeminent science writers in the world. And the piece explains where this virus almost certainly came from. In it, Nicholas Wade makes it clear that more than any other single living American, Tony Fauci is responsible for the COVID-19 pandemic. Wade lays out a nearly insurmountably large amount of evidence that this virus originated at the Wuhan Institute of Virology in central China.
Lays out an insurmountable amount of evidence that this virus originated at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. You heard that right. Now, Czar Fauci, who has been paraded across the mainstream news media for the last year, telling us, we don't need masks. Oh, we do need masks. There's no threat. Oh, well, actually, we need to lock everything down. And now maybe by next Mother's Day, we might have a normal Mother's Day. Maybe. Oh, and by the way, masks, I'm not sure you heard this one. Masks might become a seasonal norm in America. We call them face diapers, and they're dirty, and they're disgusting, and they're inhuman. Nevertheless, they've become a totem of virtue on the left in this country. So if you are not willing to wear your mask, if you're not willing to get vaccinated, you are now being stricken to the outskirts of society. As a matter of fact, you might not be able to get onto a plane. You might not be able to travel overseas. All of this is coming from Czar Fauci. Now, it turns out that there is a substantial amount of evidence that if you peel back the layers of funding far enough, that it was Fauci himself that was funneling dollars to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and we'll cover this later, that was a biosafety level 2, which many scientists have compared to about as safe as a dental lab, a dentistry. So he's funding American taxpayer dollars overseas to our greatest geopolitical foe in Wuhan to do gain-of-function research, which he denied in front of Senator Rand Paul, and God bless Senator Rand Paul for questioning him on this. And then he has the gall to go on national television for a year and tell us what we need to do, how we need to live, and how we need to completely restructure the U.S. economy and the U.S. culture to fit within his guidelines and parameters for a crisis that he very well may have contributed to or was complicit in starting to begin with. So let's take this one step further. Cut 30. This is Tucker explaining how our tax dollars were funneled.
At the time the outbreak began last fall, the Wuhan lab was conducting experiments on how to make bat viruses infectious to human beings. Those experiments were funded by American tax dollars. Those experiments were, their funding, approved and directed by Tony Fauci in Washington.
That's right. Tony Fauci. Folks, there is layers to this that we're going to get into that I promise you are more troubling than you even understand at this point. If you follow the money, as the old adage goes, you will be as disturbed as you've ever been. And when you think back of how your life has been turned upside down over the last year, it's going to make you as angry as we all are here in the studio. I promise you.
Look, for many of you that watch our live stream or our radio show, listen to our radio show, you know I talk about Relief Factor a lot. And look, truth is, I know millions of people are in some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older, that can do it. That's why I'm so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely seen this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their number of total happy customers in the next year, and I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, or even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted, only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain. So go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. The Talbots are amazing people. Check it out, relieffactor.com.
The coronavirus, which obviously has devastated the world over the last year. It's wreaking particular havoc in India right now, where there's reports I was just reading this morning of bodies floating down the river. It's terrible. It genuinely is terrible. I've never been a coronavirus denier. The virus is very real. I actually have had it, happy to say. I recovered quickly, but nevertheless, it's very real. I mean, it's the question becomes, how do we want to deal with it? What's the policy approach? What's the prescription? The left has gone all the way in the tank for lockdowns and triple masking. And, we've got track stars wearing masks collapsing at the finish line. That's in the blue states. And meanwhile, you've got red states run by amazing governors like Ron DeSantis in Florida that have completely opened up their economy. And they've proved that there's another way to do this that is less impactful. That's all really an aside for what we're talking about right now. We're going back to the origin story about how this even happened, where did it come from, and what we're really dealing with just when it comes to how did this happen? Did it happen naturally from animals? Did this jump from an animal species to a human? Or did the Wuhan Institute of Virology accidentally allow it to escape? Now, it's becoming increasingly clear, and frankly, it's been obvious to a lot of us for a long time, that it probably originated in the lab. Now, the White House has been deflecting the World Health Organization that Trump got us out of and that Biden has got us back into, released a study a few months ago basically saying that this was a conspiracy theory, that there's very little evidence to link this to the lab. You've got the White House, you've got all of the establishment folks that you would expect circling the wagons and defending their position that this did not come from the lab. Let's go ahead and play a clip from Jen Psaki. She deflects when asked this very same question this week. Clip 40.
It's a matter of public record that Dr. Fauci and the NIH-funded gain-of-function experimentation research at the Wuhan Lab of Virology. And given the questions about that lab, why would Dr. Fauci and the U.S. fund that kind of experiments, that kind of research in a Chinese lab?
I'm happy to send you to the NIH about more specifics of what program they funded and more details of that.
All right, let's go ahead and play clip 39. So she says, I want to take you back to the NIH, and you can ask them. Well, here we go. We've got Dr. Fauci. I played this before, but it bears repeating. Dr. Fauci denying that the NIH had anything to do with gain-of-function research. Let's go ahead and play clip 39.
We have not funded gain-of-function research on this virus in the Wuhan Institute of Virology,
Oh,
Dr. Fauci, I wonder if that clip will come back to bite you. I think it already is. Let's see if there's any consequences for you being an utter and complete liar and a fraud. So let's go to clip 33. This is where Tucker Carlson last night brilliantly laid out how Fauci was directly involved in the funding at the lab, which was directly researching gain of function, especially with coronavirus vaccines. And then there's another name that pops up here that I want to draw special attention to. It's a guy named Peter Daszak. Now, I mentioned this WHO report that said there wasn't ties to the Institute of Virology, that the virus didn't come from there. Well, turns out the American representatives only had one person that went over and helped conduct the study. And he was only at the Institute of Virology for one day, and it turns out he might have, let's just say, mixed motives in how he wants to tell the story. Clip 33.
So once again, why would the Wuhan lab be conducting experiments like that in the first place? Well, we know that Tony Fauci had authorized payment for the research. For 5 years, from 2014 to 2019, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, which Tony Fauci runs and has for decades, pumped money to a group called the EcoHealth Alliance. The EcoHealth Alliance is run by a man whose name you may recognize, Dr. Peter Daszak. Daszak contracted with Dr. Xi to conduct gain-of-function experiments at the Wuhan lab. Just before the pandemic became public knowledge, on December 9th, 2019, Peter Daszak sat for an interview that was streamed online. In that interview, Daszak bragged about how easy it is to manipulate coronaviruses in lab experiments.
Let's go ahead and play clip 34 of him bragging. It's important. It's an important clip to round out this entire story for you all. Clip 34.
Coronaviruses are pretty good. I mean, you're a virologist, you know all this stuff, but you can manipulate them in the lab pretty easily. It's just spike protein drives a lot of what happens with the coronavirus, zoonotic risk. So you can get the sequence, you can build the protein, and we work with Ralph Barrick at UNC to do this, insert it into a backbone of another virus and do some work in the lab.
So think about this. This is, I think, November or December of 2019. The public became aware of this novel coronavirus in December, mid-December of 2019. Obviously, the entire U.S. economy shut down in mid-March of 2020. So here he is, Peter Daszak, bragging about how easy it is to conduct these gain-of-function experiments using coronavirus. Now, then we have, it turns out, Joe Biden gets us back involved with the WHO after Trump, rightly, in my opinion, got us out. Peter Daszak then becomes the only American representative that's a part of this lab leak origin story, that the report that the WHO is conducting about the origin of the coronavirus. And then he goes on and there's a bunch of, you know, his reports on Twitter that basically say, oh, this is a conspiracy theory. There's no there. Meanwhile, this is what kind of brings us full circle, is to Nicholas Wade, very accomplished writer, a science writer with the New York Times, although he didn't publish this report with the New York Times, which is very telling, by the way. I don't think the New York Times would have allowed this report to see print. So he published it on Medium, and it's a very long, in-depth report, but it's very striking about how he goes out of his way to point the finger back at the NIH and Dr. Fauci and the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and actually makes a very compelling case. As Tucker says, insurmountable evidence comes out that actually this, of course, came from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. But here's part of his report. No one has found the bat population that was the source of SARS-2. So let's take a break here real quick. They're telling us that there is, when you look at the evidence, that this is obviously has jumped from the bat population to the human population. Well, in this report, we're hearing that nobody's actually found the bat population that has this virus or an antecedent of this virus. If indeed it ever infected bats, quote unquote, no intermediate host has presented itself despite an intensive search by Chinese authorities that included the testing of 80,000 animals. So think about that for a second. They're telling you that it's conspiracy theory that it came from a lab, and yet the scientists that are tasked with figuring out where it came from can't find a single bat with the virus. What does that tell you, folks? This might be the biggest cover-up of our lifetimes, and there's so much more I want to talk about with it.
In 1857, the SS Central, also known as the Gold Ship, sank with 9.1 tons of gold on board. Valued at $2.1 million, that is the modern-day equivalent to hundreds of millions of dollars, the greatest American treasure ever discovered at sea. Today, Noble Gold, a California-based company with a pristine reputation, has a share of these coins available to their clients. Over 7,000 gold coins, mostly $1, $5, and $20, gold coins from 1840 to 1857 were recovered from the SS Central America shipwreck. Most of these coins were from the Ship of Gold, were quickly acquired by private collectors when the coins were first brought to the market in 2000. Now, Noble Gold's clients can get this unforgettable part of American history at a fair, affordable valuation. Contact Noble Gold and ask about the Kirk Shipwreck deal. deal. To receive this unique offer, visit noblegoldinvestments.com and then call a Noble Gold representative to ask about the shipwreck coins. It's time to tell better stories at your parties by showcasing a one-of-kind coins from collection destined to rise in value. noblegoldinvestments.com.
Now, I want to play back a tape because, again, this bears repeating just how explosive this report is. I'm going to play clip 34 again, and this is Peter Daszak in December of 2019 saying how easy it is to manipulate coronavirus. And then when you get done listening to that, I want you to hear his – and again, this is in, I think, November or early December of 2019. So this is before the world even knew about the novel coronavirus, the China virus, as it's affectionately known here at the show. This is before the world even knew about it. And this is a guy that's receiving money directly from Dr. Fauci to fund gain-of-function experiments at this lab in China that is apparently only as secure as a dentist office. Okay, so just listen to the smugness of this man, and then I'm going to read a quote more current about him denying the links to the lab. Let's play the clip.
Coronavirus is a pretty good, I mean, you're a virologist, you know all this stuff, but you can manipulate them in the lab pretty easily. It's just spike protein drives a lot of what happens with the coronavirus, zoonotic risk. So you can get the sequence, you can build the protein, and we work with Ralph Barrick at UNC to do this, insert it into a backbone of another virus and do some work in the lab.
Okay, so he's bragging here that it's really easy to do this research on the coronavirus. You just put it on the backbone of the virus, you put some new proteins on it that attach to human cells, and, you know, there you go. Got a pandemic on your hands. No big deal. So Daszak has said, again, this is our American representative that went over as part of the WHO report that said, oh, this is all a conspiracy theory. Okay, so this guy has a financial interest in this lab, brags about it before this became like an international pandemic that, it's so easy. And then we send him over there to do the research to tell us if this institute leak theory has any merit. Okay, well, guess what he came up with? I don't think this is too surprising for you. You're pretty smart out there. Daszak, well, the idea that this virus escaped from the lab is just pure baloney. Simply not true. I've been working with that lab for 15 years, and the samples collected were collected by me. Oh, okay. So you got your own samples to prove your own theory. I see what happened here. And others in collaboration with our Chinese colleagues. Oh, interesting. Chinese connection. They are some of the best scientists in the world. I bet they paid you a lot of money to say that. There is no viral isolate in the lab. There was no cultured virus that is anything related to SARS coronavirus 2. So it's just not possible. And might you say it's really a politicization of the origins of the pandemic. And it's really unfortunate. The stories, as President Trump said he has been hearing, have been around since day one of the outbreak. And they're around in every single outbreak of a novel virus. Somebody somewhere says, well, this has been manufactured in a lab. Oh, Peter Daszak. Oh, Tony Fauci. You got egg on your face here, unfortunately, on this one. Now, what I find very interesting is the Chinese connection, where he's sort of going out shilling for the Chinese when he's supposed to be our American representative. It's just disgusting, to be honest. And we hear all these stories about professors at higher education that are getting paid behind the scenes by the CCP and their Thousand Talents program to get research and information back to the Chinese mainland. Well, here's an instance, folks, of it being right under our noses and actually being part of our federally funded budget. Now, I want to play a clip here. It's supposed to be illegal. Let's play clip 37.
So why didn't the U.S. government halt its funding of the lab in Wuhan? That is a central question, and Nicholas Wade, to his great credit, looked into it. And here's what he found. Quote, someone wrote a loophole into the moratorium. The moratorium specifically barred funding of any gain-of-function research that increased the pathogenicity of the flu, MERS, or SARS viruses. But then a footnote on page 2 of the moratorium document states that, quote, an exception from the research pause may be obtained if the head of the U.S. government funding agency determines that the research is urgently necessary to protect.
All right, so if it's urgently necessary, we can make an exception and fund some gain-of-function research.
It doesn't matter what your politics are or who you voted for. Everyone should have the right to express themselves freely. Sadly, the big tech monopoly has instead opted for censorship. To fight back against big tech's control of the internet, I use ExpressVPN. Free-to-access tech giants make all of their money by tracking your searches, video history, and everything you click on, then selling off your sensitive data. When you use the ExpressVPN app on your computer or phone, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity much more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. What's more, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your network's data to protect you from cybercriminals, and it just takes one click to protect all your devices. That's why ExpressVPN, that's right, ExpressVPN, is rated number one by CNET and Wired. Revoke big tech's right to your data. Visit expressvpn.com/Kirk, ExpressVPN.com/Kirk, to get 3 extra months free. That's expressvpn.com/Kirk for 3 extra months free. expressvpn.com/Kirk.
So we're talking about this Wuhan Institute of Virology leak story. And what we've really come to is the fact that the WHO, which we had long suspected was completely overrun and manipulated by the Chinese, the WHO issued an investigation. They commissioned it, and then they issued a report basically saying that this was a bunch of baloney. Peter Daszak was front and center. And what we've realized is that that research, that report, is a total fraud. It's a hoax. So we've got a virus that originates from China, infects millions of people all over the world, kills millions of people all over the world, is still ravaging many parts of the world, including India. We have a report that comes back and says that didn't come from a lab. But then we find out later that the guy that was partially in charge of issuing that report had a financial interest in the lab itself. And then we've got him on tape in December, early December, bragging about how easy it is to do gain-of-function experimentation on coronavirus. And that apparently is just a conspiracy theory. How on earth did U.S. tax dollars make it into such a dangerous investigation? This experimentation on how you increase the pathogenicity of a virus. Because viruses tend to escape, especially in this case where you have a respiratory disease. And we were playing that clip, but here's what they found. I'll just read it out loud this time. Someone wrote a loophole into the moratorium. The moratorium specifically barred funding of any gain-of-function research that increased the pathogenicity of the flu, MERS, or SARS viruses. But then a footnote on page 2 of the moratorium document, it states that an exception from the research pause may be obtained if the head of the U.S. government funding agency determines that the research is urgently necessary to protect the public health or national security. And that's exactly what happened. Tony Fauci, along with Francis Collins, the director of the NIH, not to be confused with the NIAID, which is Director Fauci, they exploited that loophole. So they signed off on what appears to be research that led to the deaths of millions of people all around the globe. And so meanwhile, as we've been talking about, should Dr. Fauci be fired? Should Dr. Fauci be, you know, paraded around television? Of course not. And yes, he should be fired. The question is, why isn't even more on the table? It's becoming increasingly clear that Dr. Fauci is directly complicit in the death of millions of people. And that's not overstating the matter. That's exactly what we're dealing with. This report is so explosive and so shocking that we should all be infuriated. This was a preventable illness, allegedly. I'll still hedge a little bit for our Media Matters friends. This is a preventable tragedy that has enveloped the world for the last year. And it looks like our own government is complicit in funding the very research that did it. And now they are complicit in the cover-up. That's what's even perhaps even more striking. So, and not only are they covering it up, we're still parading this man around like he knows anything. Now, it begs to a larger point that we've seen since this pandemic has been upon us, and that really is the politicization of the institutes that are supposed to keep us protected. You know, the Marxists talked about the long march through the institutions. And I think many of us assumed that meant Hollywood, that meant our universities, that obviously meant our politics. But I don't think a lot of us were thinking that this was going to have anything to do with the health establishment, our doctors, our nurses, the NIH, the NIAID, Dr. Fauci. I remember when he first came on the air, I didn't had bad feelings about him, but I didn't predict this web of lies and this chain of money to be so far-reaching and to be so insidious. But we have another report that sadly reveals just what a lie our medical establishment has become, what a fraud. So this is from the New York Times. Pretty amazing that they're actually doing some good reporting here, but, you know, hat tip when a hat tip's due. Headline, a misleading CDC number. We have a, you know, so we shouldn't be surprised. The CDC has been politicized. We've seen recent reports of how the CDC has been colluding with teachers unions that want to extract more of your tax dollars so that they get more research to pay their teachers more and to do more fun projects, I guess, and put up more plexiglass between our children and put them in cages. The CDC, by the way, if you're not familiar with that story, they borrowed language directly from, when this is all tracked on email, the American Federation of Teachers, I believe, sent an email to the CDC, and the CDC borrowed that language, copied and pasted it basically into the new guidelines. So we know this is happening, and obviously, of course, these teacher unions are massive funders of the Democrat Party. Follow the money on this leak story. We understand that the federal government is a massive funder of this research that Peter Daszak was involved in. And now the CDC, it comes out, is basically wrong again, and we shouldn't be surprised. So this is a story that centers around how infectious is the disease outside. So when we're outside, you know, a lot of us have realized this anecdotally a long time ago. We go outside, you know, the wind blows it away. We go to the beach. Sunlight is a great disinfectant. It's not just an expression. It's actually true when it comes to this virus. So what they basically originally said is that early on, they said that 10% of COVID transmissions occur outdoors. Well, the truth is coming out. Dr. Muj Sevik, a virologist at the University of St. Andrews, said, in truth, the share of transmissions that has occurred outdoors seems to be below 1%, and it may even be below 0.1%. And I love this part of the story. He says, saying that less than 10% of COVID transmissions occur outdoors is akin to saying that sharks attack fewer than 20,000 swimmers a year. The actual worldwide number is around 150. So I could say, hey, less than, you know, 1 million people got infected with COVID outside. If the real number is 150 or even 1,000, that's a ridiculous thing to say. And yet that's how the CDC was presenting it. So there's not a single documented COVID infection anywhere in the world from casual outdoor interactions, such as walking past someone on the street or eating at a nearby table. So let me read that again. There is not a single documented COVID infection. This is from the New York Times. Not a single documented COVID infection anywhere in the world from casual outdoor interactions such as walking past someone on a street or eating at a nearby table. Folks, I want you to think back to your life over this last year. I want you to think back of all, and I'm very proud to say, I call it COVID porn. When I think about CNN and their rising numbers on the side of the screen, even Fox News, how many people are infected, how many have died. I want you to think about when you got a package maybe from Grubhub or Amazon, and, you know, you should be shopping local, but that's a whole other story, and you were wiping down the boxes. Well, now we found out that's a total farce. And now we're finding out that it's below 0.1% of all transmissions probably happened outdoors. In fact, there's not a single documented COVID infection anywhere in the world from casual outdoor interactions. And now I want you to think to this COVID origin story and the people who have been behind the scenes pulling the strings on the American public, denying that it had anything to do with the Wuhan Institute of Virology, denying that our own federal government had anything to do with it. There was no funding source. And by the way, God bless, I said it earlier, God bless Rand Paul for grilling the heck out of Dr. Fauci, who's a total fraud. Not only should he be fired, he should be investigated for possible criminal negligent behavior here. I think there's a very good case that he misstated the quote-unquote urgency that allowed that loophole to be exploited in the first place, which allowed the funding of this Wuhan Institute of Virology in the first place, and has led to all of this terror and chaos and tragedy. These people are frauds, and they have been gaslighting the American public from day one on where it came from, how it got here, how dangerous it was. And now they're doing the exact opposite, where they want us to all walk around perpetually in masks, never to go back to normal, to wear masks seasonally. Maybe Mother's Day next year will be okay. All of the above. And simple things like going out to restaurants. And now, you know, we couldn't do that. In California, where I live, yeah, we have outdoor dining, and thankfully we have a pleasant climate to enjoy that experience now. But indoor dining was closed for much of the last 12 months. All of this stems from a big lie. We talk about the big lie. The Democrats want you to think that our questioning election integrity is the big lie, and that Trump's been pushing the big lie in all of this, right? Well, the big lie, it turns out, was COVID. The big lie was how it got here. The big lie was who was involved in creating it. And everything that happened after that, all the rules that were changed from the election, the shutting down of our economy, the COVID porn, our kids not going back to school. I want to say all of this in one place because the story couldn't be any bigger. And I think we are inundated with news. We're inundated with stimulants. We're inundated with marketing, and we're inundated with everybody being so worked up about all of these things. Well, if there's one thing that you should be worked up about, it's this. It's the fact that this whole thing was probably preventable. That millions of people are dead because of a very preventable research experiment run amok. And they're covering it up. And they're denying it. So, folks, what does that say? It says that everything's been politicized, even our healthcare establishment, and that there needs to be serious consequences for the people that perpetrated it. And will there be? Of course not. Because the cover-up will continue, and our media shills will continue covering it up. God bless this man, Nicholas Wade, for his extensive report. I recommend everybody go read it, go check it out. Nicholas Wade on Medium, Origin of COVID, Following the Clues. It's an utter disaster, and it's embarrassing. Let's go to clip 45, Michelle Obama on CBS on how scared she is when her daughter's out in public. Okay, let's go to clip 45.
Many of us still live in fear as we go to the grocery store or worry about walking our dogs or allowing our children to get a license. I mean, just imagine, you know, you have a
son.
Aren't
your girls driving?
They're driving. Yeah. But every time they get in a car by themselves, I worry about what assumption is being made by somebody who doesn't know everything about them. The fact that they are good students and polite girls, but maybe they're playing their music a little loud. Maybe somebody sees the back of their head and makes an assumption. I, like so many parents of black kids, have the innocent act of getting a license puts fear in our hearts.
Okay, Michelle, thank you for that. Let's go to Candace Owens, good friend of the show, good friend of Turning Point USA, clip 46.
So if Michelle and Barack Obama are oppressed, if they live in fear, if this country's so bad that even the Obamas, elected president twice, can't live here. What is there a future? Should we leave?
I don't know, Tucker. I think we have to launch an investigation because I want to know which nanny, which chef, which housekeeper, which chauffeur, which Secret Service agent, which gardener, which landscaper is oppressing Michelle Obama, Barack Obama, and their children. I think we've got to get to the bottom of it at this point. I mean, I looked, and it looks like her net worth is about $70 million. Gayle King's is $40 million. Barack Obama and her combined is $135 million. Let me tell you something. If that's oppression, where can I get me some? The back of people can look at the back of their head. You mean the Secret Service agents that are constantly around your children? They probably haven't even touched their own door handles in years. And we're supposed to believe that you're oppressed while the rest of the country is actually suffering.
Oh, Candace. You got to love Candace. She doesn't hold anything back. And that's, yeah, if that's oppression, where can I get me some? Yeah, anyway, so it's amazing. So let me just tell you this. The five largest ethnic groups in Edgartown, Massachusetts, where they live, the Obamas live, are white, non-Hispanic, 92.7%, black or African-American, non-Hispanic, 4.74%, and Hispanic, or other, rather, is 2.13%. So they live in literally one of the most racially homogenous places in the world, in America. Let me take that back. And they have the gall to tell us how systemically racist we all are, even though we elected them as a country, you know, her husband to president twice. Now, I'm getting notifications here, and I would be remiss if I didn't. You know, our prayers go out to everybody in Israel. I'm getting notifications that there's an unprecedented rocket attack on central Israel in Tel Aviv, which has started. I don't have any more details than that. Obviously, we know that there's been a lot of violence that's erupted in the area in recent days, but it now seems that the rocket attacks that had started earlier in the week and escalated a lot yesterday, with reports of over 100 rockets being fired out of Gaza, has now expanded. I'm seeing a map here, just a quick visual. I mean, this is hundreds of rockets. I mean, the entirety of, you know, the central area of, you know, if Tel Aviv is sort of on the coast and central, I mean, the entire seaboard is just lit up in red with little dots that mark where rockets have fallen. So anyways, it looks as though the escalation of violence is real. And, you know, hopefully the Iron Dome of Israel has succeeded in destroying most of these rockets before they could hurt people and hit the ground. But the officials there say that the Iron Dome is only about 90% effective. So if I'm looking at a map with 100, 200, 300 missiles, rockets being launched at Israel, we have to assume that 20 or 30 of those have unfortunately hit the ground and probably going to take life or cause other damage. So again, our prayers are with the people of Israel. It's a complicated situation. Obviously, as we talked about with Knowles earlier, it seems like the Palestinians are using the changing dynamics, partly in Washington, to leverage this. So, all right, everybody, thank you for tuning in. I hope you learned a lot that episode. I learned a tremendous amount studying for it. And guys, this is just the tip of the iceberg. This is a massive cover-up, and we need to stay on it. And we will right here at The Charlie Kirk Show. We appreciate you tuning in. If you would like to support Turning Point USA, the organization that Charlie has founded and that is doing such important work all over the country, please go to turningpointusa.com and chip in there. And if you'd like to support the work of this show, go to charliekirk.com/support. It means the world to us. Thanks so much. We'll see you soon. God bless.